Thank you for downloading from the Great Commission Society. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about our global ministry and team at www.greatcommissionsociety.com.
On February the 3rd, 1943, a warship named the Dorchester was carrying more than 900 soldiers and military personnel across the North Atlantic. A German U-boat spotted the convoy and fired three torpedoes at the ship. Only one struck the target, but the blast below the waterline fatally damaged the ship. In the cold darkness, the crew was ordered to abandon ship. There were not enough lifeboats for all the men, nor were there enough life jackets. Four chaplains aboard the ship that night helped comfort those injured in the explosion and those who feared the coming of death. When the ship was ready to sink, the chaplains took off their life jackets and handed them to four young soldiers who had none. They gave up their own lives in order to save others. The heroic gesture inspired a nation, and Congress voted a special posthumous medal in their honor. Most of us are not called upon to physically lay down our lives, but there are many people who need our help. People all around us who don't know the Lord need us to give them the gospel.
What does your life with Christ look like? Does it mirror Him, or do you feel there are changes that need to be made in order for that to happen? And if it doesn't look like Christ, what is keeping you from being the person that God wants you to be? Hello, and welcome to our GCS podcast with author and evangelist Tony Anthony. Every Christian is called by God to a specific purpose. But what does it mean to be called? In a sense, as Christians, we are all called to Christ to follow and obey Him. He made that clear when He said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In Luke 9:23. The call to Jesus Himself is the ultimate call on our lives. But what does that mean? Do you ever feel that your lifestyle get in the way of your calling, and what work needs to be done in your life to make sure you are the person He wants you to be? Let's join Tony as he presents a message on setting aside uncertainty, embarrassment, and acting in obedience and conviction.
Edward Kimball was concerned about one of his young Sunday school students who worked at a shoe shop in downtown Chicago. And one day he visited the shop where he found the young man in the back stacking shoes. They talked for some time, and Kimball led the student to Christ there and then. Dwight L. Moody eventually left the shoe store to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of all time. Moody's international speaking brought him to Britain, where he preached on a little chapel pastored by a young man by the name of Frederick Broverton Mayer. In his sermon, Moody told an emotionally charged story about the Sunday school teacher he had known in Chicago, who personally went to every student in his class and led each one of them to Christ. That message changed Mayer's entire ministry, inspiring him to become an evangelist just like Moody. Over the years, Mayer went to America several times to preach, and once in Northfield, Massachusetts, a confused young preacher sitting in the back row heard Mayer say, "If you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" That remark led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to the call of God on his life. Chapman went on to become one of the most effective evangelists of his time. A volunteer by the name of Billy Sunday helped set up the Crusades and learn how to preach by watching Chapman. Sunday eventually took over Chapman's ministry, becoming one of the most dynamic evangelists of the 20th century. In the great arenas of America, Billy Sunday's preaching turned thousands of people to Christ. Inspired by a 1924 Billy Sunday crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, a committee of Christians there dedicated themselves to reaching that city for Christ. The committee invited the evangelist Mordecai Ham to hold a series of evangelistic meetings in 1932. A lanky 16-year-old sat in the huge crowd one evening, spellbound by the message of the white-haired preacher, who seemed to be shouting and waving his finger at him. Night after night, the teenager attended, and finally went forward to give his life to Christ. The teenager's name was Billy Graham, the man who has undoubtedly communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ to more people than any other man in history. The names Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, J. Wilbur Chapman, F.B. Mayer, and Dwight L. Moody are celebrated in history. But where did the sequence of conversions start? A lone Sunday school teacher, a nobody named Kimball, who visited a student in a shoe shop. He was no stadium speaker, no great orator or celebrated theologian. He was just one man with a passion for the eternal future of another. Yet the consequences of that visit sing out in history. Millions of people have been affected by his decision to go to that shoe shop and share the gospel with one person. And as the four engaged in conversation, it became obvious that there was a mutual attraction between the young man and the woman. Suddenly, the train went into a tunnel, plunging the carriage into darkness. Immediately, two sounds were heard. The first was the smack of a kiss, followed by the whack of a slap across someone's face. The grandmother thought to herself, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him the slap he deserved." The commanding officer thought, "I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl, but it's a shame that she missed him and hit me instead." The young girl thought, "I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it." And as the train broke into the sunlight, the soldier couldn't help but smile. He had managed to kiss the girl and slap his commanding officer and get away with both at the same time. It's crazy, isn't it? But it's hard to get away with anything in the light. Jesus was quick to point this out to the Nicodemus. He knew why the faithful Pharisee had come to visit him at night, under the cover of darkness. His words must have carried quite a sting. We read in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, "Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." Perhaps you can see the parallel here. The anonymity of technology shrouds us from confrontation and allows us to explore in the shadows that which we hesitate to seek in the light of day. The sinister side of this is well acknowledged, but let us not be too damning here, for indeed there is a very positive flip side. Jesus' exchange with Nicodemus is intriguing and has many facets. You know, the religious leaders at the time were stuck in a bureaucratic religious system that made the system more important than the cause for which it was founded, not too unlike many religious denominations in our world today. Nicodemus was one of these religious leaders. However, there is something going on in his heart and mind. Intrigued by the miracles Jesus had performed and his huge claims of being the Son of God, Nicodemus goes to him in secret. He knows that fellow religious scholars believe Jesus' claims are a sham, that some believe Jesus is a threat to their religious institution. He also recognizes the possible danger of the occupying Roman rulers viewing him as a leader of a new revolution. But Nicodemus is beginning to wonder, perhaps this is a man from God. After all, how else could they account for the miracles? How could they account for his staggering insight into the scriptures and his understanding of the things of God? Nicodemus decides to find out more. This whole story is about how a person becomes right with God. Nicodemus had his ideas, but they were only the traditions that had been handed down to him anyway. In fact, he was fully indoctrinated in his thinking. To be found even exploring something different, something so radical as belief in the truth about Jesus, would cause uproar among his peers and drastically alter his way of life. Nicodemus comes in darkness, but Jesus pours forth the full light of truth, leaving the Pharisee struggling and floundering with what he was told. Yet we hear of this man later on in John chapter 7 verse 5. It is Nicodemus who stands up for Jesus before the Sanhedrin, and we're told that he went with another believing Pharisee, Joseph of Arimathea, to retrieve Jesus' body after the crucifixion. We see that in John chapter 19, verse 39. Nicodemus' approach to Jesus was in a private, personal, secret arena, but it appears that the Lord brought his understanding to a whole new level. It appears that Nicodemus probably did take that step and become born again. The point I'm making here is that people seek sometimes in their darkness. Technology offers a deeper shroud of darkness still, but if we as Christians choose to fill it with the light of the gospel, using our own testimonies and the many communication interfaces available to us, those who seek will, like Nicodemus, find. Dare I suggest that every church makes a video recording of the testimony of each member of their congregation and puts them all on YouTube? And so we return to another strategy that should help us overcome our excuses, and this issue of failure in evangelism. I sometimes cringe when I hear people speaking about Spirit-led evangelism. Now, don't get me wrong here. I fully believe that the Holy Spirit clearly leads us to people with divine appointments with whom we should share the gospel. Many times I felt the strong conviction of the Spirit to engage with a particular person, and often this has led to a very powerful time. Sometimes with that person giving their life to God and, you know, right there and then. But this is not an everyday occurrence. What am I to do then? You know, am I to wait for the next warm glow, the next strong feeling, the next person who comes across my path by chance, asking me about Jesus? No, at the forefront of our understanding should be the recognition that we shouldn't wait around for people to come to us. God has given us brains, hands, feet, mouths to use. He's given us specific instructions to go, and this means being proactive, starting conversations and seeking opportunities to share the message. Yes, we must always seek the prompting of the Spirit, of course, for it's the Spirit of God who convicts a person of truth. We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. But we have also already been directly told by the Word of God to go out there and proclaim the gospel. Jesus said, go. Why do we insist on saying come? Also, at the forefront of our minds must be a decision to obey and to trust God no matter what. And time and again, in this discussion, we come back to our own personal relationship with God, don't we? And I urge you again and again to examine yourself and query whether this might be a reason that you lack the urgency, the vigour, the passion to share the gospel with others. It's vital that on a daily basis we decide to put our trust in Jesus, no matter what. We need to make that decision to obey him and then live our lives in the light of that decision. Every day we should remind ourselves that we are dying to ourselves, that we must decrease as he increases in us. That is the only way we will get over fear of public exposure. We've not joined some sort of club here. We've joined an army, and it's God's army. When Jesus says what he does in Mark 16:15, we cannot back down from this command. Failure? Yes, it will come. Ridicule? Probably. But following Christ's command is what brings us closer to him and his purposes. Surely then we should embrace the blows to pride, the disappointment of friends labelling us as religious nutcases, the fear of approaching a stranger, the anxiety and public exposure. As we put ourselves on the line to tell his story, what is pride? And what worth is human approval anyway? Proverbs 29 verse 25 reminds us, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So then, let us grasp hold of this simplicity of the message. Train ourselves in the art of its telling and live every day to obey Jesus' command. For there is no greater reward this side of eternity.
We hope you enjoyed the message. Please subscribe and leave a rating and review to help others find our podcast. At GCS, our mission is to communicate the gospel message relevantly to every person in the world. One way we do this is by providing practical resources to help you grow in your faith and present the Christian faith across different cultures. You can find out more about our resources at www.greatcommissionsociety.com. If you would like to donate to our efforts, be sure to contact us, or you can donate online. GCS is a listener-supported ministry and is chaired by a board of directors in Edinburgh, UK.